Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kritis. Today is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is Dollar Danger and New Cold War. These are both questions. We've discussed the dollar doom loop. That's more in alignment with the theory, and it may come to fruition, that the dollar is going to have a swan song before it collapses. That it's just going to potentially vault higher because of the amount of outstanding debts that exist in the global marketplace. We discussed this again on one of our previous podcasts a couple of months ago, the dollar doom loop. Check it out. But I'm thinking, if that side of the coin doesn't come to fruition, what's the other side? The other side is a complete collapse of the dollar. All fiat currencies collapse. It's just a question of when. Because there's nothing that backs them except the true faith and confidence in the government, in the country that is issuing that currency. Well, as we get closer and closer to $30 trillion in a national debt by running multi-trillion dollar national deficits, annual national deficits, markets are going to lose faith and confidence and trust in the United States government and as an extension in the U.S. dollar. If you have a dollar doom loop situation, that scenario play out, where you have the U.S. dollar strengthening against a basket of currencies, you're going to see a lot of developing countries, especially those that are heavily dependent on commodities, continue to spiral downwards out of control. Because if there still remains a correlation with the value of the dollar versus commodities, because most commodities are traded in U.S. dollars. So if you have a stronger U.S. dollar, you typically see weaker commodity prices. And if those commodities are the heart and soul of countries like South Africa or Nigeria or many countries in the Middle East, in South America, and they are heavily burdened with U.S. dollar-denominated debt, it's going to take even more of their local national currencies to pay off their dollar debts. That's the dollar doom loop. It just spins out of control until it hits rock bottom. That's not a good situation for the rest of the world. Conversely, if that doesn't play out, if the dollar just continues, people around the world, countries, they want to dump everything, they don't want the dollar, and it just collapses. Well, that's not going to be good for much of anybody either, because the global economy is going through, it is in the midst of the greatest depression. In that type of environment, you would rather see prices come down. You would always rather see prices come down as the consumer. But if you have the dollar's demise, then you could very likely, and we've been discussing this here frequently, you could very likely have commodity prices take off. They could shoot to the moon. Well, commodity prices and commodities are used in virtually everything. So those costs, those higher costs, are going to be passed through at every link in the chain until it makes its way to the end user. And then you're really going to start to see prices take off. And it's not because there's a huge demand for those commodities, but because the dollar has become worthless or is on its way to becoming worthless. Don't think that it cannot happen. Do you see the Greek Empire around? You see the Persian Empire around? You see the Roman Empire around? You see the British Empire around? This is history. The debasement, the inflation of their currencies. It's history repeating. Have we learned our lesson? Obviously not. Obviously not. And you don't even have to go back to the ancient Greeks or to the Romans to figure this one out. All you have to do is have a good understanding of the Great Depression. Don't do that. Don't fall into the myth that they want to preach to justify their actions, that the government didn't do enough, that the Federal Reserve didn't do enough. No, they did plenty. That turned what would have been a recession into the Great Depression. We are doing the same thing today on steroids. Problem now, bigger problem now, is we do not have the tailwinds like we did in the 1930s. The demographics are against us this time. We didn't have $26.5 trillion in debt. We didn't have multi-trillion dollar deficits in the 1920s, 1930s. Even, of course, on a percentage basis, we are blowing everything out of the water with what we're doing right now. And we're not done. We're not done. We're about to do another trillion, at least. And as I stated yesterday, my congressman sent me a questionnaire. No option to say, you want us to stop doing this? You want us to stop spending your money that we don't have? That wasn't even an option. Where do you want it to go? To bail out the states? To bail out cities? Infrastructure? Extension of unemployment benefits? Where do you want all of this Banana Republic funny money to go? That's the world we live in. This is the Banana Republic. So pay attention to what's going on with the dollar, because right now, the dollar index, known as the Dixie, the DXY, is below 95. We have not been at this level for quite a while. Now, it's heavily weighted against the euro, which has been appreciating, so that's why you have this, because they trade relative to each other. But you have the euro at $1.15, which we haven't seen this here for over a year and a half. So this has been a remarkable appreciation of the euro against the dollar. Remarkable. And when we talk about volatility, and I've mentioned it here many times before, if you look at the currency markets, they are extremely deep and liquid. You don't see a lot of volatility. You don't see a lot of spikes and drop-offs, especially in the larger pairs of currencies, like the euro, the US dollar, the pound, the US dollar, et cetera, the bigger pairs. You might see that type of volatility with developing countries, but not with the big boys. If you pull up a graph, 2020, no surprise, extreme volatility. So when is the dust going to settle is anybody's guess. Because I also believe that the euro is going to collapse too. It's a race to the bottom. All of this money printing from central banks the world over, all of this big borrowing and spending of governments the world over, all this is doing is delaying the inevitable, that day of reckoning where you got to pay the piper. And with everything they just added on top of what we were already dealing with is just going to make that day of reckoning even worse. It's going to steal that much more prosperity that much further out from the future. Not even to really even bring it here today. It's just to fill a hole. It's just to fill the void that has taken place because of COVID-19. And of course, it's not all COVID-19's fault. No. Don't be mistaken by that. Especially those of you who have been with me for a year and a half. The economy here in the United States, the global economy, was slipping and sliding and going down well before COVID-19. But you were never going to hear that from the White House. You were never going to hear that from Bloomberg or Fox Business or CNBC. They're all about keeping the bubble going. They're all about getting stocks as high as humanly possible. Doesn't matter what the risk is. Keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. That's the system that we have. It will not last. And you see other markets, the bond market in particular, and now the precious metals market, really starting to sniff it out. That this money printing, this spending by governments is not a panacea. It's just setting us up for future failure. It's all it's doing. Robbing us blind. At least the masses. Of course, if you're closest to the printing press, you're getting all the money. You're making out like a bandit. So what to do? Well, best suggestion I have is, like I said, to do the best you can to stay diversified and to stay vigilant. I think the dollar, at the end of the day, net-net, whether you have the dollar doom loop scenario where it has a swan song and it takes off to new heights before it comes crashing down, or it just goes down, the result in both scenarios is a weaker, worthless dollar. So what do you do in that environment? Well, to me, you have to look at gold and silver, and even platinum, but especially gold and silver. And we discussed this at length yesterday, and we're going to continue to discuss this moving forward, because I really believe that it's really just getting started, and I mean the bull market in both gold and silver. Because another 750 billion euros were approved the other day in the European Union. Another trillion at least is going to be approved here in the United States. And it looks, at least there were some sources reporting today, that Republicans might be willing to extend that weekly unemployment benefit of $600, but it's not going to be $600, it'll make be $400, which is what we said yesterday, that they'll probably make it a little less and go from there. That'll be their compromise, those fiscally responsible free market capitalist Republicans. It's an election year, folks, and that's just what we know of. That's just what we know of as of now. As I stated yesterday, President Trump is going to promise everything. Joe Biden is going to promise everything. One of them is going to get elected. They are going to attempt to make good on some of those promises. Those promises from either side is going to have a price tag of trillions of dollars. Now, how much of it gets passed? Time will tell. But it's going to be trillions more that we do not have, which will render the dollars in existence before the Fed starts printing even more to pay for all of this monstrosity. It will turn all of those dollars in existence worth less and worth less and worth less. So good protection, gold and silver. Nature's money. It's what the market decided was money thousands of years ago. Can't print that. It constrains governments. And that's exactly how it's supposed to be. That's why gold and silver are mentioned in the U.S. Constitution. Founding fathers understood what was going on. They understood history. They were students of history. They understood that their experiment could easily fail. They knew it from day one. When Benjamin Franklin replied, "A republic if you can keep it," when asked, "What government have you given us?" "A republic if you can keep it." To be a fly on the wall during those deliberations, those discussions, would have been amazing. And of course, we can get a glimpse, obviously, with the documents and the letters back and forth. But their foresight and their understanding and the gravity of the situation as to what they were doing. And it worked for a long time. It worked for a long time. Brought millions of people from around the world to our shores. And it still does, because you still have that story of hope, and because you still, unfortunately, have so many countries around the world that are just they are banana republics too. And people are just looking for opportunity, just looking for hope. But we've shattered it. We've trampled on the Constitution, continue to do it daily. We've abandoned free market capitalism, have done that decades ago. And now we're all going to pay for it. You get the picture? This is what happens when you abandon your principles that worked. Just because you're principled on something doesn't mean your principles are working. But ours were. Not perfect, but they work pretty damn well. Nothing's perfect. We abandoned them. Adopted all of this insanity that we are living through, paying the consequences now for. Global protests, global riots, government overthrows, they are coming. They are here. They're not going away anytime soon. This is a direct result of these failed policies. It's ridiculous. That's some on the currency markets. The stock markets today here in the U.S., relatively flat through most of the trading session. And then, of course, at the end of the day, I guess the algos turn on. It's amazing if you watch them closely. The last 30 minutes, 15, 10 minutes of the trading session, you get a big move to the upside or the downside. Well, today it was more to the upside, so markets closed up for the most part, but nothing major right now. In overnight futures trading, they're all relatively flat. Japanese cash trade is down about 0.6%. A sea of red across the pond in Europe for the day's trading session. And Australian markets are currently trading up about 0.25%. On the commodity front, we have WTI trading at $42 a barrel. Brent is at $44.40 a barrel. Natural gas at $1.69. Gold and silver had another decent day today, both up about 1%. Gold right now is at $1,870 an ounce. Silver is pulling back about 0.4%, but is trading at $22.68. Those are the spot prices. Uncle Sam's 10-year Treasury junk note is yielding 0.6%. It was trading south of that during the day's session. I did see it about 0.59. Again, the bond market is not believing in any type of V-shaped recovery. The bond market understands what we have been discussing here for a year and a half. The bond market understands the long-term effects and consequences of shutting down the economy and having a system built on debt and credit. Okay? It understands it. It understands those 33 million Americans collecting some form of unemployment insurance. And understands a lot of those people are not going back to work anytime soon. And understands the amount of moratoriums that are in existence right now. Student loans, rent, mortgage payments, car payments, what have you, that's not going to be forever, that's coming to an end. Where is the money going to come from for these people to make these payments? And on the other side, there's no free lunch. So what about the landlords? What about the banks that hold the mortgages? What about the pension funds that hold the mortgages? Etc., etc., etc. Down the line, down the line, down the line. Do you get the picture? Does it matter what somebody says? They're a cheerleader on Bloomberg or from the White House. V-shaped recovery. Everything's looking fantastic. No, it is not. You don't solve a debt crisis by adding more debt. We have learned absolutely nothing. This is exactly what we did in the depths of the great financial crisis. And we're continuing to do it now. And then those two idiots who testified last week, Ben Bernanke and Janet Yellen, hey, let's do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Says the idiot and criminal Ben Bernanke, who also told us that this is just, you know, this is just a one-time thing. Quantitative easing. This is just a one-time thing. Expanding the balance sheet. We got to do it. We got to save the system. Got to bail out the banks, some major corporations, some big insurance companies like AIG. Remember that? Got to do it. And then the economy will come roaring back, and then we'll normalize. Well, we didn't start normalizing or rolling off the balance sheet until 2018. Then you get your fourth quarter 20% decline in the stock market. Stock market throws a hissy fit. President throws a hissy fit. Oh, well, we're not going to do that anymore. Them being the Federal Reserve, we're not going to do that. We're not going to continue to try to normalize our balance sheet anymore. So how are they going to do it now, folks? It's almost 100% bigger, the Fed's balance sheet, today than it was in 2018. We're getting there, and we will. We will. We couldn't normalize then. How are we going to normalize going forward? That's when the Fed funds rate was at 2.25 basis points. Oh, I'm sorry, 2.5%. I thought we had a strong economy. You can't tolerate 2.5%, 2.25%. Give me a break. Now we're at zero. 25 basis points. A balance sheet of $7 trillion. It'll be $8 trillion before you know it. And probably more come next year. Because these problems aren't going away. You get the picture. This is the collapse of society. You see it in the streets. You see it at home. You see it in your bank accounts. You see it in the lost opportunities for yourself, for your children, for future generations. Doesn't have to be this way. But this is the system that we have adopted. This is what we have allowed to stand. Because we continue to be fooled and tricked by politicians who everybody believes are liars and crooks and criminals and greasy people. Yet they tell you what you want to hear for a few months, every couple years, and you go right back into that voting booth and put them right back in. And then you scratch your head and wonder why things aren't getting any better. Why it's the same issue every election cycle. I told you, I have a list of books that you can go read from the 1960s, 1970s, some from the 1950s, 1980s that read like they were written today. You just got to make some of the numbers bigger. That's it. A couple commas, a few zeros. Wake up. Have you left the Republican Party yet? Have you left the Democrat Party yet? It's peaceful, and it will start to send a message. Now, will they care at the end of the day? I don't know. Probably not. But it's a stepping stone. It's peaceful, and it's something you can easily do. Leave them. They start to see the numbers of people leaving both parties. Maybe they'll start scratching their head, and maybe they'll start to think, well, at least maybe something's coming. Maybe we actually got to do something to get this situation under control, to take some responsibility. That makes me sound naive. I don't think it's going to happen, but we got to try. That's some of the market news. Pay attention closely to what's going on with the dollar. Be diversified. Be vigilant. Take a hard look at gold and silver. If the move in silver is reminiscent of to what took place with similar, perhaps similar moves back in 1980, 2011, we're just getting started. Got the silver, the gold-silver ratio, which we discussed at length yesterday. Play around with the numbers. If it goes back to its average of being about 60 to 1, do the math as to where it's going to go. Gold continues to rocket higher as well. Well, then silver can go even higher too. And this is not the great financial crisis. This is the greatest depression. You still had some type of tailwind back then in the great financial crisis. Quantitative easing, it was new. Markets believed it. Let's give it a shot. Now here we are again doing the same thing, expecting Tesla to go to the moon, expecting Apple to trade at $1,000 a share. I don't know when all of this is going to end. But all I know is it's insanity. Doing the same thing, expecting a different result, it's just not going to happen. It's going to be even worse. That's why I think gold and silver are the place to be. Now, when it comes to the new Cold War, I'm sure many of you are aware of the news surrounding the United States kicking out the Chinese from their Houston consulate, the Chinese consulate in Houston. And of course, the Chinese had a document burning party because, just like you see in the movies, when that happens, evidently that takes place. You got documents, you're getting kicked out, gotta burn them. Where was Larry Kudlow? I don't know, I didn't see, but was he out there today? Was he out there saying that, hey, well, yeah, we're kicking them out, but the phase one trade deal is still intact? Poor Larry. China could drop nukes on us, we could drop nukes on China, and Larry would be out on the White House lawn. Oh, don't worry about a thing, folks. Phase one is still intact. You don't understand what's going on here. We're just dropping bombs to level some of the trees. We figured that's easier to do it that way, so we got more fields for the farmers to grow radioactive potatoes and soybeans. It's inside baseball stuff, but don't you worry. Phase one is still intact. That's how crazy everything is. And if that happened, I wouldn't be surprised if that did happen. If Larry Kudlow comes out, it doesn't matter what it is. Hey, phase one is still good. What a joke. Doesn't even exist. You have war games in the South China Sea or in the Pacific. We're flexing our muscles with India, with South Korea, with Japan, with Australia. What I tell you, folks, when all else fails, they take us to war. Gotta distract. They do it all the time. It's the same playbook. When are we going to wake up and say enough is enough? Better be sooner rather than later, because it's one issue after the next. It's the collapse of Lebanon. It's the collapse of Venezuela. It's the eventual collapse, probably, of Iran. All right, it's these geopolitical tensions with the West versus China, which all of that geopolitical risk and uncertainty is another reason. It's another tailwind for gold and silver because of the uncertainty. Speechless, because I've said all of this stuff was coming, it's in the works, and now it really appears to be front and center. And as I've stated many, many times before for the past year and a half, and I will continue to always say it, especially in relation to these types of issues, I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. With a dollar collapse, with the greatest depression, with countries rioting, government overthrows, civil wars, nation against nation. I want to be wrong. But this is what I am seeing. This is the analysis. This is my conclusion. And every day it's getting closer and closer for all of those things being realized. Because we're doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. We need a new playbook. Really, we just have to dust off the old one. It's called the Constitution of the United States of America. It's called free market capitalism. It works. We just have to use it. We just have to trust it. What's so hard about that? I don't know. Write your congressman and find out. I'm going to, and I'll post that letter when I do it. Probably within the next... Oh, I don't know. A couple of days, a couple of weeks, we'll see. We'll see, because I got a lot on my mind with what I'd like to put out there. Maybe I'll write a couple more, I don't know. But one is coming, because I was just beside myself when I got that questionnaire. And of course, no option to say enough's enough. No more. Banana Republic, folks, how many times do I have to say it? How much more evidence do you need? But as it comes through, I'm going to keep bagging it and tagging it and explaining it to this audience. Thank you so much for joining me. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.